Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 3 of Video Gaming is Good. I am your host, Darren, aka Emo, and...
And I'm Lino Vukovic, Sklozer.
Yes, and thanks for listening, and remember, this is going to be our tagline, we're not pros. As you know, we're just a bunch of guys who have interests in gaming, and we want to share our ideas and thoughts out in the world.
That also works as an excuse. So yes, if things go wrong, it's because we're not pros.
We're not pros, you know. I don't know how this works. All I do is just press the record button, and for some magic reason, I'm on computer. So thanks for listening, and we'll just get on with the show at the moment. First things first, we have some questions from a person by the name of ChrisJudd3. I was kind of shocked that we got a question from someone. What about you, Lee?
Yeah, I was pretty shocked, but yeah, I'm expecting for this episode we're going to get one from, you know, Peter Costello 8 or something, you know.
ChrisJudd, you know, I thought he'd be playing footy, but if he's listening to the show, thank you very much. And the question, well, he's got a few questions. I'll do that first one. He asked, do you think some game designers bring it upon themselves by creating over-the-top violence in their games? I'll hand this one over to Lee to begin with.
Yeah, kinda. I think that quite often it is done, the violence in that is added basically as a bit of a gimmick sort of thing, or it is a little over the top. But for the mature mind, I mean, they really shouldn't have too much of a problem in differentiating it. I don't have any problem. You know, I play Grand Theft Auto, I don't think, yeah! I'm going to carjack some people, and I'm going to stab some people, I'm going to get a prostitute, and then kill her and get my money back. I can't say I've ever really thought that. And even as a young bugger, I didn't think that either. I watched violent movies, TV, music, video games. Didn't really have much of an effect, but, I mean, there are those people out there that are a bit sort of, you know, deficient in the head, and and they might not be able to distinguish it. Maybe there's a case there for restricting over-the-top violence, but restricting something of the majority to cater for a minority is a bit sort of weak, if you ask me.
Yeah, I sort of agree with you on that one, Lee. Do game designers bring it upon themselves? It's hard for me to say, but I think they're putting in games what, you know, not what, you know, is popular, but, you know, it's like an outlet, you know. People do know they can't do these things in real life, but, you know, to do it in a game, it's harmless fun, and, you know, there should be no consequences for, you know, putting the stuff in the games, but other people are going to see it and, you know, say, oh, you can't have that because it's too violent, and, you know, it's going to influence the children, you know. Think of the kids! But, I know, I'm well aware enough that it's just a game, and, you know, I'm not going to go out in the streets and, as Lee said, you know, steal a car or, you know, get a prostitute. You know, not that I ever thought of it. But I don't think they bring it upon themselves, really. It's just, you know, part of... It's just making games for money, basically. And, you know, if that's in a game, more people are probably going to play it. You know, it's also down to the case, you know, if it's controversial, it's going to make money. So, nah, it's hard for me to answer that question. But, you know, I don't think they bring it upon themselves, really. Next question he had as well was that what do you guys think of people who classify games and ultimately determine whether a game is suitable for public consumption or not? He also asked something like, do you think that the panel or whoever classifies these games should have people on there who actually do play these games on a regular basis? What do I think of them? Let's just say I'm not really happy sometimes with their decisions. Like, there's so many games that they do ban. Like, in Australia, what's that group called, Lee? I forgot. The
Office of Film and Literature Classification.
Yeah, that's the one. Thank you very much. They do a good job, I guess. But some games, and even some movies, do get banned, which I don't think there's a problem. I'll pass this one on to Lee again to start it off.
Well, I was literally looking this up the other day just out of interest. I'm personally quite against almost any form of censorship. But in this country, we have one of the highest rates of movies being banned or censored, which surprised me a bit. But on the main part with the video games, I think that the first thing that should be changed is allowing an R18+ rating for video games that currently lacks and is pretty stupid. Also, I think that there should maybe be the panel should be expanded. I think it's at about 12 members now. They're supposed to classify things based on community views and values or something like that.
Only 12 members? That's pathetic.
Yeah, but there's sort of it's have a bit of a problem as the sort of the system gets a bit gamed by people coming in and doing the job who like they wouldn't have me on. You know, they wouldn't have me on, and but they would probably accept like my father. You know, and our views of what is cool and what is not cool would differ a fair bit.
Damn rippersnapper, what you
doing? Yeah, youngins. But I think maybe that there should be some sort of input. I mean, games, apart from music, literature, television, and movies, they're just a whole different kettle of fish. You don't sit there and just consume it. You're a part of it. So they should at least have some sort of education on how games work, maybe have a few studies done, something like that. I'm not sure if having an actual gamer on the panel would be too good.
Oh, come on, I want to be on the panel so I can tell them, you know, get this game in there, I want to play with it, otherwise, you know, I'll go to another country and play.
I agree, for sure, but the problem that you might end up with there is that you might get accused of bias or something like that, which is probably just, you know, whole kettle of fish. I'd rather have educated people make the proper decision than just, you know, one person forcing their view. But, you know, that can extend to a whole range of other things too, I guess.
I think also what they should put down is, like, if you're applying for this job or requirement for, you know, being on this panel, is that what games have you played recently? Now, I'm not talking about Pong or Missile Command, but, you know, what games have you played recently? What do you think of games? You know, these people, they are classifying games for the whole population of Australia to play. I'd like them to at least, you know what the game is about fully instead of reading somebody else's synopsis. Because I'm sure, like, these people who classify, they're not going to sit down and play the game for, you know, 4 or 5 hours. They probably get some other guy to classify it for them and just say, oh, there's violence in it, you shoot people, you steal cars, you take drugs. You know, if I didn't play a game and I just heard that, I'd probably go, you know, no, you can't sell that to people. But it's just hard for me to, you know, to put it straightly, but I think they need to revamp the whole thing and, you know, work it out. Like, what I don't understand is for movies, they got, you know, they're like R rating for movies, but for games there's no such thing, so it's kind of a bias there, I guess. So, you know, if you want to portray violence in a game, make it in a movie. You have more better chance of getting out there than a game.
Yeah, and make sure it's violence and not nudity or sex, because then it's guaranteed to get past the censors.
Oh, no, we can't see skin, but we're allowed to see decapitating heads.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's your point of view, I guess. okay, that's enough for questions. Thanks very much, Chris Judd, 3.
Get back to playing football.
Yes, you know, kick those goals first, you know, good on ya. Win another Brownlow medal. We'll talk about something in the news now. Recently, started off. You remember watching that TV show called Saved by the Bell, Lee?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you know, I think it was about a group of school kids and the principal and, you know, how they run high school or something like that. Yep. Do you remember the character, the guy that was called Screech, I think?
I do. Wily looking guy.
Yeah, tall, lanky, had curly hair.
Funny voice.
Yeah, funny voice. Well, he made the news. You know, you don't see much on the news anymore, but he made the news, and I think this is good in terms of gaming. Basically, what happened was that he's doing like a stand-up show of some sort, and during night, he was sleeping in the hotel, somebody broke into his room, and there was a girl who broke into his room, and she demanded money from him, thinking that, you know, he's a big star and he's got money. Apparently, at the moment, no, he hasn't got money. So she thought, instead of stealing money, I'll steal your PlayStation Portable. And Screech, whose real name is Dustin Diamond, had better ideas and said, no, you're not taking it. And apparently, there's a big fight and, you know, police came along and, you know, had to break it up and, you know, both made statements and whatever. how would you react in this situation, Lee? You know, if someone came to you and instead of taking your money, they wanted your handheld.
Well, I'd have to go with Diamond here on this. I want to use quote, "I'm a big gamer and you don't mess with the D-Man's video games." That's pretty much how I'd go with it.
That's a great line, man. You know, that should be a tag for one of his new video games that comes out soon.
Definitely. Yeah, no, I don't think I'd take too kindly to someone taking my DS on the bus or breaking in and taking all my copies of Grand Theft Auto or NHL 06 or Pikmin or whatever. You know, they can just back up, you know, take something else.
Take the money, but don't take my, you know, my handheld. And why don't take my handheld? Because I spent hours playing the game to finish it and to opening all the unlocks and getting the bonuses and getting the high scores.
Yeah.
If you take that away from me, I'm just, you know, first off, I've got to have to play it again just to do all that. But then it's just a waste of my time, you know. If you want money, take the money. I can, you know, at least report that and hopefully get something back from it. But if you, you know, take my high score record and the bonuses I've uncovered, that's just going to make me very sad.
It's like taking a piece of ammo if you do that.
Yes, you know, you don't want a piece of me, so, you know, stand back. But, you know, in short, good on him for fighting for his right for his video game, you know.
Go to the D-Man.
Yeah, go to the D-Man. You know, all the best for you in the future. And I'm sure all the gamers out there going, I do the same thing. You don't mess with me or my games.
Yeah.
Yes. On to our next article we got, which I believe is... Oh, this is a big one for all your gamers out there. The PC, well, the home PC, turns 25 just recently. Happy birthday from all of us from Video Gaming is Good. I'm 25, so I guess I sort of got a connection to PC, but I didn't realize it turned 25 until I read the news, Lee.
No, well, I guess it's not something you really pay that much attention to, you know. Yeah. Suppose that'd be why that. I mean, I didn't know until I read it on Dig and went, oh, look at that, 25, huh?
That's old.
Okay.
What was your first PC, Lee?
Oh, I had an IBM Aptiva, and this, I mean, it was pretty sort of piece of junkish. Really, but
sounds good though.
Oh yeah, it had the 486 DX4 processor.
Whoa, whoa, slow down, mate. You got so many letters and numbers in there. Was that like a bonus or upgrade or something like that?
This is like the 486 class chip. This is like the next best. And then in the DX4 range, there was the 75 and I think the 100 megahertz, and we had the 100 megahertz chip. And this thing, you know, this was like. Like the standard 486, it's like a Ford Festiva, Ford Laser, one of those little smart cars, you know, it looks like they hacked the back of it off.
Okay.
It's one of those.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the DX4 is like an Escalade with 20-inch rims with the spinning things.
Oh, the bling!
Yeah, glitter ball, 4 trillion watt stereo, shagpole carpeting, and 2 hookers in the back. It was it was like the processor of processors.
That's like Pimp My PC, man.
You're damn straight at it.
Damn straight. Oh, so, and what games did it have, or what could you do with it?
You could play a calculator, and notepad, and word processing, and Compton's Interactive Encyclopedia.
Encyclopedia, that must have, you know, been the precursor to Wikipedia, I'm guessing.
Yeah, except it was accurate, so there you go.
I'm speechless, man, you know. You know, from all that, the Aptiva sounds like a kick-ass machine.
Yeah.
But,
How about yourself?
Myself, my first PC, I don't know if you can call it a PC or not, but it was a Commodore 64, where basically the computer itself was in the keyboard. So the keyboard was maybe twice as high as a normal keyboard nowadays, and you could put a cartridge into it for your games. So we had, like, I think International Soccer, where... everything was all block shape, you know. Think of back to the Atari block shape, but a bit more smaller, I guess, you know, more higher resolution, if you want to say it.
Yeah.
But the thing with the Commodore 64 I had was that we had no save disk capability on it. So
handy.
I know. So if I typed something out, you know, I couldn't save it. And either way, I didn't want to save it either, because what's the point? Back then, I wasn't thinking of, you know, writing a best-selling novel. Oh, look, I wrote the Da Vinci Code. No, I didn't. But having no save, you know.
Take note, Dan Brown. You're on notice.
Yes.
Ammo wrote it first.
Yes, it's the ammo code. Yes. Yeah, yes, and I won't go into that because it's too big of a contribution. but we couldn't save whatever I typed or wrote, or in games as well. If you wanted to save, no, we couldn't save. So any game I played, I had to either sit there for 8 hours and try and finish it, or just turn it off and go to sleep. But it did its job. The Commodore 64, maybe that was like the uncle to the Nintendo 64, I don't know. It sounds the same to me, you know. Back then, you really didn't think much of PCs. Back then, you just, you know, thought of it, oh, it's a new gizmo you can spend time with or muck about. And nowadays, there's so much a part of life where, you know, you need them to exist, basically, to do whatever, your work, your accounting, your taxes, your keeping in touch with each other.
Check the weather.
You got to check the weather, you know. Is it going to rain? Is a hint. Look outside the window. That helps.
No, I'm not going to do that. It doesn't tell me what the wind speed is then.
What do you
or the humidity.
Oh, it's sticky. Yes. yes, but yes. Happy birthday to the PC. We want another 25 years out of you. We don't know what you're gonna look like in the future. You know, back then you had like a green screen and you were the size of a room, basically. Nowadays you're small enough to fit on a desk. 25 years, maybe you'll be small enough to fit into the palm of my hand. You know, there probably is something like that now, but not at an affordable price.
Yeah.
So you know.
Alrighty.
I'm happy for it. So we just, you know, keep up the good work, I guess. That's all for the moment on news, and I think we'll talk about something we want to talk about for a while is online communities.
Yarr!
Yes. Oh, okay. we've both had a bit of trouble trying to come up what online communities really stands for, but in a way it's like having friends, but you don't have to be physically around them to, you know, do friendly things. You can be online to converse, and here's my perspective. The way I, you know, keep in touch with my friends is mostly online, you know, due to ICQ or MSN. You know, those are great programs to use to keep in touch with each other, and even using Skype, which thankfully we're using now to make this podcast, which is coming to you. Online communities, I think it's a good thing. I don't know what to say about it, really, but I think it's a big step forward in the human evolution. Can I say that?
Yeah, of course.
I just did. What do you think about online communities, Lee?
No, they're good. I think things that connect people of similar interest is good. I mean, you can take the sort of low-tax from somethingawful.com has sort of said, and that they're probably the worst thing ever, and they connect people who might like to, in his example, stick parrots up their ass together, and that's, you know, then they all get together and they think that, hey, there's like 40 of us who really, really, really like to do this. We're like, actually, you know, we're somehow a majority, and we're going to start telling people that, you know, it's the greatest thing ever. So in that point of view, like, it's probably not the greatest, but they're the sort of like the freak shows. But for the rest of, you know, normal society, they're pretty good. You know, you get to have a chat with people of similar interest, keep in touch with your mates, your friends, your relatives, and, you got ICQ, MSN, blogs to a certain degree, although there you sort of get more into the sort of like citizenship journalism, which is a pretty good sort of thing, you know, enabling your right to free speech a little further, I guess. Can't complain, they're all good.
Yeah, they're good. I guess the way we are exposed to online communities mostly is through video games, I would say. Like, you know, I've played World of Warcraft for a long time. I haven't played it for a while, but, you know, I've played it before. And, you know, you make friends, when you play the game. And most of the time, you don't even know who these people are, you know. We won't go into the topic of, you know, all those stranger danger type of things, but you meet new friends who have similar interests to you, and you know, you just basically have fun. You know, you could say same thing with the Xbox Live thing that they got, how, you know, you can meet people who have who play the same game as you, same interests, and you know, you basically make good friends. And you know, even I guess in a more strange note, if you want to say, I've read news stories how people who've met over Xbox Live, and in the end they've married each other. So it's a good, I don't know, it sounds a bit weird for people who never thought of it, but you do make good friends, and in certain cases you probably meet a partner, but you do share similar interests. You're mostly always in touch because, you know, you're always online and you don't need to go out or whatever. But yeah, you know, it's a good thing you have online communities. You've got a lot of people share interests with you. It's like you know, the updated version of a pen pal, you know. Yeah. Instead of writing to some guy called Joe who's in prison,
you actually disputed territory.
Yes, you know. you know, you're meeting someone who, you know, online, who probably more than likely share interests and you know, who like to be in your company. So, you know, it's basically like a normal community, I would guess, but it's all online. And you know, I think it's all good. I don't think there's any bad things out of it. You know, kids and adults, they, you know, I'm sure there's heaps of them who've got great online communities and friends and families.
Well, the thing about the gaming, like, online community as a whole is that age is more or less irrelevant.
Yeah, it
doesn't matter.
I'm surprised when you know, I'm playing with someone and you know, I've played with them for a while, and then after this I realized that they could be, you know, 10 or even 20 years older than me. And I, you know, normally if you wouldn't converse with someone, you know, physically who's older than you outside on the street, because, you know, you don't share the same interests, but you don't know. But you know, online, age, gender, race, it's all irrelevant. So
no, well, the only thing that's sort of really are relevant is your attitude, your opinions, your thoughts, and the way you conduct yourself. Which probably, how I mean, it'd be nice if we could do that way in real life.
Yes, you know, I guess, you know, we do have a lot to learn from online communities. There's no no stereotype and no bias against each other, and you know, it's, you never met this person, so. You know, I guess some people say it's a bit weird. You haven't actually seen this person in real life, but do you really need to see someone just to be their friend? I'm sure back then when you had pen pals, you know, you never met a person, but you became great friends. So I guess this is like the next step up into it.
I think we got that covered.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say. I guess I'm lost for words, but yeah, it's good. It's If you're out there and you're part of an online community, I'm sure there's good benefits that you all understand. So I think we've covered most of it.
Yep.
Remember, we're not pros, so we don't know what we're talking about, really.
That's right.
Yes.
Not pros.
Yeah, we're not pros, so, you know, whatever we say, just take it with a pinch of salt or pepper or sugar, whatever you want. But hey, yeah, okay, we'll go on to the next thing I just got written here. What games are you playing at the moment? Okay, yeah. Over to you, Lee. What games are you playing at the moment?
I'll be playing New Super Mario Brothers. I actually managed to get around to playing it, unlike last week. And I finished World 6. I'm on to World 8, and I finally got into World 4, like, this morning.
Odd. You had to find a... Well, not find a secret, but, you know, find a way to access World 4, basically.
That's right, yeah. That's, and finished up another season of NHL 06 yesterday. Well, regular season. Got to do the playoffs.
Okay, so who are you playing this time?
I'm playing as the Montreal Canadiens. A short 29-game season, because I couldn't be bothered going through with a full 82.
Yeah, okay.
What did I end up with? 27-1-0-1, finally, which is pretty good. I think I lost to the same team twice, so I hope I don't draw them for the Stanley Cup.
But more importantly, yeah. Anybody get suspended or knocked out for the season?
Yeah, I went on a bit of a mission here. I wanted to see Sheldon Soure get the highest PIMs for the whole season, and he did by about double. He got kicked out every game, pretty much, because in the game, if you have three fights with the same guy, then you get a game misconduct, which is awesome. So I made that almost my mission, and that was pretty cool. He got suspended a couple of times for too many game misconducts. I mean, too many. I mean, this, what sort of stupid talk is that? Too many. No way. So we're playing that, and Yeah, that's it.
That's it. Okay, for me, just last night, I finished New Super Mario Brothers, and not just finished it, but fully 100% completed it, you know.
Ooh.
Yes, I'm very proud of it. Basically, I'll tell you what happens. If you just finish the game, you get 1 star. If you finish it and collect all the coins, so like in each level there's 3 coins hidden and you got to find it, and you finish the game, that's 2 stars. But to get 3 stars, which I just did, you have to not only finish it, not only get all the coins of each level, but you have to open all the paths to all the mushroom houses and all the cannons in the whole game. And yes, last night I found the last path I was looking for, and when I finished it, and then I loaded the game back up again, and when I went to my save file, it gave me 3 stars. So yes, that's 100% completed by Ammo, and I'm very proud of that.
Ain't nobody stealing that.
Yeah, if you want to steal it, piss off.
Back up.
Yes. Yeah. And also, I've been playing Battlefield 2. Yes, I like the idea of shooting and killing people, and I do know the difference between real and fake, so I'm not going to do it in real life.
Unlike FPS Doug, he takes it all too seriously.
Boom, headshot. Yes.
Boom, headshot.
Yes. Any other games I'm playing? Minesweeper every now and then. Yes. And also all the mini games in the new Super Mario Brothers. I think I've racked up about 3,000 coins in that picture poker because I got bored and just played it on and on and on. So that's about it.
That's that.
That's about the games. Let's see. Okay. Just a side note here is that Chris Judd 3 also asked a question about the websites that we of the show, and like he wanted something that's a little less mainstream. And okay, we found one which is less mainstream and also a bit controversial because technically it's not legal, but we'll leave it up to you. It's a website called Replacement Docs. So it's www.replacementdocs.com, and I'll put it up on the website, and also put up links to all our articles and stories up there too. And what happens, this place, videodocs.com, it's basically, it has electronic versions of gaming manuals. Now, nowadays, most games that come out, they don't release a hard copy manual. And
Which sucks,
I know. And you do want it, because not only, for posterity and everything, but it's just, you expect it to be part of the game, Especially, on the, the games you get that are like... After so many years, when they release the games too, like instead of the new packaging, they might put it onto like a DVD box, smaller packaging, and it's cheaper for them. But most of these games, they don't come with manuals, and replacementdocs.com is a good place to find some of the manuals that you might want. I don't know how many they have there, but last time I checked, they got quite a few. A lot for PC, a lot for other consoles as well, and it is handy if you want to have a look at a menu that you might not have,
I used to use this, and I actually forgot about it for quite a while, and was like, thanks for bringing it to my attention again, but I used to go there and have a look at some manuals and to sort of see if a game I was thinking of buying had a bit of meat to it or not,
you can tell a lot about a game from its manual, not only just where it was printed from, but how the way you interact with the game, through the keyboard setup and all that. Back then, manuals were big, thick books, basically, especially some big games, right? But nowadays, it's not much. But
having a PDF on the DVD is absolutely useless while you're playing the game. It is stupid.
Personally, I when I get these manuals, if they're on the DVD, I normally just copy the PDF file and stick it onto my hard drive, so I don't need to open up the DVD every time I want to take a gander. But if you don't have access to the manual, or maybe you lost the manual from all those years ago, Replacement Docs is a great place. They might not have what you want, but take a gander at it. It's interesting.
Seems to be a fairly active community, so if you can't find something you're looking for, they might help you out if you do a request or something.
Yeah, you can request manuals because, heaps of people submitted in because it's good. It's a great place if you want to know it. I think we've covered that. How many? I probably said great maybe 10, 12 times already. But yeah, yeah, it's a good place to find a manual if you haven't got one. And yeah, I think that's just the website or the podcast for us. Okay, we got anything else we want to say before we end the show, Lee?
Oh, you know, leave some comments, questions,
if Chris Judd, if you're listening again, you know, keep up the good work in footy. I think you just had a win recently, so, you know, all the best. Yeah, give questions, comments. I don't think anyone's emailed me, which, in a way, I guess it's good because I don't try to email a lot. And, you know, what's the point? You know, what do you want to email for? You know, online community is much better.
That's right.
Yeah, just leave a comment. Any questions you got, if you got anything to criticize about, just you know, feel free to criticize us. Remember, we're not pros. just don't be too harsh because we do have feelings. We're not some, you know, we're not the Balkans or whatever. And from Star Trek, having no emotions. Yeah, so I think that's good enough for episode 3. Remember, if you're listening to this and you don't know where you got it from, it's the website is videogamingisgood.podomatic.com. I think I'll leave it into the comment section of this file. So if you stole it, or not stole it, if you got it from a friend, I guess, you know where to see us. Are we listed on any like Yellow Pages or anything like that, Lee?
We're on something called Podcast Alley, I think. I think it's Podcast Alley. I think we're in Google, and submitted us to Yahoo.
We're in Google? Oh, wow, sweet.
Yeah, we're also somewhere in that Dell, I don't know how to say it, it's like Dell.icio.us or something, the sort of social, I don't know, someone just said you should tag your posts, and it's in there if you use that. So,
I don't know. If you're listening to this, you found us some way. And, you know, thanks for listening. If you're enjoying this, just feel free to leave a comment. Even if it's a short comment and say, I love your work or you hate our work, you know, whatever it is, just send it in. Any questions, like, you know, Chris Jad was brave enough to do so. You know, I'm sure there's more of you out there who've got some questions. And feel free. We won't be too harsh with whatever we spawn. I don't know what to say. I think I'm lost for words at the moment.
All right.
I think that's about it.
Call it a day.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope it wasn't too boring for all of you. All the best to Screech out there, wherever if you're listening, you know, give us a buzz if you can, mate. You know,
yeah, keep winding it up, mate.
Yeah, keep winding up and, you know, have fun with that PlayStation Portable. Well, that's about it. So this is Cheerio from Darren, a.k.a. Emo, and...
Squazzle says keep on trucking.
Yeah, keep on trucking. So we'll catch you next time, hopefully another 2 weeks. No more technical issues in this episode, I hope.
Yep.
So okay, we'll catch you later. Bye.
Bye. We're not pros.